Something for this coming week, Sedra, that also has a direct connection to one of the aspects of Elul. And this is a new idea that I'm trying first on you. So we'll see how it comes out. There is in this week's Sedra, the Torah speaks about the concept of Orei Niklat, cities of refuge. Somebody kills someone unintentionally, negligently, and he doesn't get the death penalty, but he has to run away to one of these cities of refuge and stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies, and then he can go home. And if he doesn't stay there and he doesn't go there, then one of the relatives of the victim, the murder victim, can kill him. And according to one opinion, it's a mitzvah to kill him. According to another, he has permission to kill him. But in any case, if he goes to the cities of refuge, he's safe, sanctuary. He has sanctuary from the Goel Hadam, from the avenger of the blood of the relative who was killed. Now, the Arizal says that in another parsha in the Torah, in Mishpatim, where it also speaks about Orei Miklat, there is a connection made between Orei Miklat and Elul. Torah says, Va'asher lo tzada, if a person did not premeditate the murder, V'ha'elokim ina liyado, and God brought it to his hands, meaning the Rashi over there says that sometimes somebody kills somebody unintentionally and there aren't any witnesses, and somebody else killed somebody intentionally and there weren't witnesses. So God brings these two people together and he causes the person who killed unintentionally to kill again unintentionally the person who killed intentionally. So this guy gets his death penalty and this guy has to run away to Orei Miklat. So if a person did not premeditate the murder, and God brought it to his hand, and he killed somebody unintentionally, so then, v'nosamti lecha makom, I will give you a place to run away to. You take the first letters of the words, ino liyado, v'samti loch, spells Elul. Ino liyado, v'samti loch. In Parshas Mishpatim. In Shmos. So we have a hint to Elul in the cities of refuge. Somehow there's a connection between Elul and what you're supposed to be doing during Elul and what the purpose of Elul is and the cities of refuge. So in the past I've said a completely different idea, and I want to give you an idea that I just thought of this week, and we'll see how it works out. The whole idea of the cities of refuge needs explanation, because it seems to be a contradiction in itself. It says that a person who kills unintentionally, so God either gives permission or, according to one opinion, like we said, gives a mitzvah for the family of the victim to kill this negligent, killer, right? It's a negligent homicide, okay? So it would seem like God wants this guy dead. He's giving a mitzvah to kill him. At the same time, the same God says, oh, I want to give you a place to run away from so you can escape this guy that I give a mitzvah to kill you. And not only that, but God's very concerned that the guy get there and not be killed, because there's signs up all the time, right, how to get there, make sure the guy doesn't get lost, and because he got lost, he got killed by the avenger. So which is it? Does God want this guy dead and therefore he gave a mitzvah to the avenger to kill him? Or does he want him not dead and therefore he gave him a way to run away and is very careful to make sure that he'll get there quickly so he won't get killed, right? And the other guy won't be able to fill his mitzvah. Same God. So God is like playing it against both ends. What does it mean? So I was thinking the idea is the following. That the world exists to a certain degree on two levels. There's a level, let me backtrack a little bit and explain what this means. God created the world, created our neshamos, basically for chesed. As a kindness, he wanted to give us the eternal reward of Olam Haba. That's why he created our neshamas. On the other hand, in order to facilitate that and to make that reward a real chesed, God created this world, a world of justice, a world of laws, where a person has to earn that reward in order to really appreciate it. So there's two different levels. There's a level of total chesed, where God deals with us directly and gives us Olam Haba. But in order for that Olam Haba to be really appreciated, there has to be a world of laws, of right and wrong, and punishment and reward that a person earns himself. And he has to live within those within the boundaries of a physical, material world that has its qualifications and its definite boundaries. Okay. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, on the one hand, wants the world to exist in an orderly fashion, with right and wrong and punishment and reward and so on. And in order that the world should be able to exist, it has to be a system of punishments and rewards and whatever. And therefore, under that system, if somebody kills somebody negligently, right, then he has to get his punishment. And his punishment is that the avenger of the blood, the person who's affected, the victim's family, have a right and maybe even a mitzvah to kill him. On the other hand, God himself would rather the person doesn't die. Doesn't want another Jewish life lost. Right? It's enough one life was lost. You don't need another one. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, beyond this world of justice, beckons to the person and says, I'm giving you a way out. I want you to be able to escape. I want you to be able to escape all of the details and conditions of the world of justice, and I'll take care of you and protect you, right, and see to it that you continue to live. That is the concept of our iniklah, and that's what it says in those words. Ho Elokim, Elokim is God in nature, and it also is the God of justice, where there are specific boundaries of justice, what's right, what's wrong, or whatever, punishments and so on. That's Elokim. Elokim means God within the physical nature of the world, because the physical nature of the world is the world of justice. So Elokim ina liyado. God brought this to his hand, meaning if you killed somebody unintentionally and there was no witnesses, then the law, the justice system says that you're going to have to end up going to the cities of refuge, otherwise you're going to be killed by the avenger of the blood. Somebody who killed intentionally is going to get his punishment, he's going to be killed. That's all within the Elohim, God of justice, God of the physical world, the world that has its boundaries. But the Samti Lach, notice it doesn't say anymore talking about God in the third person, Ho Elohim. But Visamti, God's talking in the first person. But me personally, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, beyond this world, I really want to give you a way to escape. I want to give you an escape. I don't want you to suffer. So I personally will give you an escape called the cities of refuge. Visamti lochamokom lonus, a place to escape the world of justice and to go lifni mishura sadin, beyond justice. And that's why this whole halacha of Arei Niklat only applies to Jews. It's a special relationship we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam, where God goes beyond the law, beyond what's just, and deals with us lifni mishura sadin, beyond the realm of justice. A total, a personal relationship that God has with us, where he deals with us beyond the world of justice. He frees us from the world of justice sometimes. Now let me tell you a Yerushalmi, and you'll see a tremendous connection between this and tshuva. Yerushalmi in Makkah says the following. It starts with speaking about Ari Miklat. Tani Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Miklat Mitlaksiv, says that these cities should be refuge. Why? Miklat Ksiv Parshas Drachim. There are signs at the crossroads that say with an arrow pointing Miklat, that this is the way, because God wants the murderer to get there and be saved. Shiarotseach Roes HaKosu V'Holech. He should see the directions and go quickly. Omrev Ovum, Kamin Yad Hoysav Mara Lohen Sadera. There was like a hand pointing the way clearly. This is the way to go. Go. This is the way to escape. Omrev Pinchas. Pinchas said, Tov V'Yosher. God is good and straight. Lama Hu Tov Shu Yosher. Why is he good? Because he's straight. V'Lama Hu Yosher. Why is he straight? Because he's good. That's why God shows the way, directs sinners in the way. Shemora derech tshuva. He shows the way for tshuva. Now, obviously, this is a continuation of before. Just like, right, God shows the way to the murderer, the unintentional murderer, how to get to Ari Niklat and save himself, to find the city of refuge. So too, because God is good and straight, He shows sinners how to do tshuva. Now let me explain with them. Now let's go on. Then the Yerushalmi continues, and then we'll go back and see how it all fits together. Then the Yerushalmi continues. Shalu l'chachma. They asked wisdom. Chote mahu ansho. Person sins, what should happen to him? What's his punishment? Omru lohem, so chachma, wisdom said, chatoyim tirdof ra. The people who sin will be pursued by evil. Evil should pursue the people who sin. That was wisdom's response. Shalom Nevuah. They asked prophecy. Chote ma'oncho. What is the punishment of somebody who sins? Omra lahan hanefesh achotas itamos. Person who sins should die. Shalom Lekutchebrichu. They asked God himself. Chote ma'oncho. What is the punishment of a person who sins? Omra lahan yasu tshuva v'yischaper lo. Let him repent, and it'll be forgiven. God is the one who directs the sinners in the path. He shows them the path to tshuva. Now, putting this all together, it says the following. Just like by Ari Miklat, really, if you look at the justice of the situation, if you look at the chachma from a side of wisdom or prophecy, and there's another version of this medrash that adds in Torah. Torah was asked, what happens to a sinner? And the Torah said, let him bring a sacrifice and be atoned for. But not Torah, not nevuah, not chachma, none of these things came to the idea of tshuva. Tshuva is something directly from God, which is exactly the idea that I told you before. The idea being, on the one hand, God created an orderly system and usually functions within that system because that's the way to preserve that original chesed. If there's no system of law and order and justice, then the original kindness that God wanted to give, Olam Haba, will not be preserved. But sometimes God goes beyond the system and he deals with the person directly and he tries to give him a way to run away from the system so he can avoid the punishment and get that kindness without having to go and get the punishment and go through the system. In other words, normally it's a good thing to go through the system, but sometimes there's exceptions where the Rabban Shem deals directly with an individual and says, I can give you an escape from the system and deal with you with special kindness above and beyond the letter of the law. That is Ari Miklat, and that's exactly the concept of tshuva. Okay, meaning that it says that tshuva was created before this world. It's a different world, tshuva. It's not within this world. And in this world, wisdom, prophecy, Torah, everything that was created in this world says that there has to be an orderly system. And if you sin, you get punished. But there's a world that's beyond this world that you can escape to. And God is the one who directs the sinner, just like he directs the murderer, to get to that refuge, to get to that place where he can run away to, and that's a direct thing between God and the person. Visamti, it's not Elohim anymore. It's not God in the impersonal third person, but it's me. I'm going to give you a place to run away from. God is the one who gives a person the ability to do tshuva. It's out of the system. It's running away from the system, but it accomplishes the same thing because you run away and seek refuge in God himself. That's what tshuva is. And that's what it says. Ki lo yachbots b'mos hames. God doesn't want the sinner to die. Ki im b'shuvo mirisho v'choya. He wants him to repent. Doesn't want him to die. He created a world where enachinami, if you sin, you die. But God doesn't want that. That's only necessary because in the general system, you can't have that kindness that God wanted to give us if you don't have the system. So God had to create the system. But there are times when what God really wants is to give a person a way to escape the system and return to him. That's what he really wants. It's exactly the idea of Ari Mikla. That's exactly what this Gemara says. It compares Ari Mikla to the same God that directs the murderer on the path to refuge, directs the sinner on the path to tshuva. Okay. And therefore, it says in all the Sfarim, the Shari Tshuva and others, tshuva is a tremendous kindness of God. It's not within the system. It's something beyond the system. It's a tremendous present and kindness that God is willing to go beyond the system. Lifting Mishur Sadin. Now, with this concept, which I think is true, and it surely seems to be from that Gemara, this concept, now that we can understand a Shari Tshuva, that's very difficult to understand. Right away in the beginning of the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. He says that delaying to do tshuva is in itself a serious sin. Person sinned, and now he doesn't right away do tshuva. He delays doing tshuva. Right? Yichbod avav onsho kol yom. His punishment will get greater every day for not doing tshuva. Why? Ki yodea ki yotza haketzef alav. Because he knows that God's anger is kindled against him. V'yesh lo manos lanu shama. And he has a place to run away to. V'hamanos hua tshuva. And the refuge, the place to run away to is tshuva. And then he brings a medrash. Listen to this medrash. The medrash is in Koheles Rabbah. The medrash says like this. What can it be compared to? To a group of thieves that were captured and were put into prison. Okay? The king put them into prison. And they dug a tunnel, a hole, to escape from the prison. And all of them escaped except for one. One of them didn't take the advantage of running away. He stayed in the prison. The Nishar Echad Mehem, Ubosar Besasoar, and the prison warden came. And according to some opinions in the Medrash, according to some versions of the Medrash itself, it seems like the king himself came. V'ro machteres chatur, and he saw that there was a tunnel, right, dug, right, an escape. V'ha'ishahu avdeno osir. And this guy's standing there, and he's not taking advantage of running away. And he hits him with his stick, and he says, k'sheyom, you fool. Halo amachteres lefanecha. The escape is right in front of you. How did you not run away? Now, normally, wardens don't hit people for not escaping jail. The marshal is extremely difficult marshal, right? I mean, why would especially the king? I mean, the guy put him in jail. I don't know, but they should say, "Wow, you're a nice guy," right? Everybody else escaped, and you stayed in prison, right? So some say the idea is the guy's a fool. It shows that he doesn't really appreciate how serious his situation is. He doesn't care about the king. Let him do whatever he wants to me. I don't care. Because if he cared, it would be a reflex reaction to escape. You worry about what happens later, but get out of the jail. But according to what we said, it's a completely different thing. The idea is, and the Tiferesian says this idea, he says the king really is about chesed. He doesn't want the person to sit in jail, but he has to function according to rules. There's a certain order of society. There has to be jails. If people steal, they have to, what's it called? They have to be punished. They have to be put in prison. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, there's total anarchy. And the world can't exist. But really, the king would rather, if somehow he could work it out, that the person doesn't have to sit in jail. It's necessary because that's the way the world has to function. But the king is a tremendous Baal Chesed. And he doesn't want the person to have to be in jail. So if the people escaped, he's happy that they escaped. Now, he'll work it out with the person or whatever. It could be that once you're in jail, you're under the system. So that's it. Once you escape, you can come to the king and beg for a royal pardon. That's outside the system. That's what the king really wants. It's not that he doesn't want the person to, he wants them to go and steal again. But if you can escape, then come to me and I'll give you a pardon. We'll work it out. You'll tell me you won't do it again and you won't have to sit in prison. If you're in the system, there's nothing I can do. I have to respect the system because that's necessary in the general scheme of things. But as an individual, I don't want to see you in prison. So if you have an opportunity to escape, escape. Then come to me, we'll work it out. That's for the sake of the of society. But I'm giving you an opportunity, right? I want you to take that opportunity of escaping the system. That's tshuva. Tshuva is the God's opportunity given to us to escape the system. I had to create a system, right? But that, and that preserves my kindness. But I'd rather do the kindness directly and not, and to be able to circumvent the system so you don't suffer. That's tshuva. There's a system, there's no such thing as tshuva. You sin, you get punished. That's a system. But God himself would rather circumvent the system when possible, and he tells you how to escape. It's exactly the idea of Ari Miklat. You killed somebody by negligence, you're going to have to suffer. I'm giving a mitzvah to the guy to kill you. But I'm giving you a way to circumvent the system to escape that. That's exactly the same Rabbanu Shlomo. Okay. Now, what exactly is the jail? So the Marzav over there on the Medrash says that the jail is the Yetzer Hara. When you sin, so you become a prisoner of your Yetzer Hara. And really, that's the way the world should be. If you sin, you suffer. And the Yetzer Hara gets you. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to be able to escape that Yetzer Hara. So he gives you tshuva to escape the Yetzer Hara. But according to the Shari Tshuva, it seems like the prison is God's anger, the punishments that you're going to get, which is really no contradiction, because the Yetzer Hara and the Satan and the Malach HaMavis are all the same person. So the fact that you're in the hands of the Yetzer Hara means that the Satan is there and the Malach HaMavis is there and the punishment and the Yetzer Hara is all one thing. And that's the system. If you sin, then you fall into the hands of the Satan, the Malach HaMavis, and the Yetzer Hara. But God wants you to be able to escape them. So he gives you an escape called tshuva. And that's why it could be, it says, b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, afilu tzadik gomreinu yochol lamod. The place where balei tshuva stand, tzadikim gemurim don't stand. Why? Because it's a different world. Tzadikim gemurim are in the regular world. But the Baal Tshuva has to run away to the city of refuge called Tshuva. It's a different world. It's exactly what the Sfarim say. Tshuva is a world that was created before this world, because it doesn't exist within this world. Within this world, the system that God created within this world, Tshuva doesn't exist. It's not part of the system. It's an escape from the system. Okay? And thinking that's why you have to stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies. Why? Who is the one who gives us that direct connection to God? Once a year, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as a shliach, as an agent, a representative of the Jewish people, and he goes in and faces God, mamish, face to face, if that's whatever that means. And he goes in not as an individual, but as the representative of the Jewish people. So the one who gives us that direct relationship with God, not in the system, beyond the system, that's what Yom Kippur is all about, is the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, as long as the Kohen Gadol is alive, you have a way of having that direct relationship through God through the Kohen Gadol. So you have to stay in the city of refuge, and the Kohen Gadol will be the one to give you that connection. As long as you have that connection, you've escaped the system. You're beyond the system. But once the Kohen Gadol dies, there's no one anymore for at least a minute or two, or as long as it takes to get another Kohen Gadol, to make that relationship. So now God has to make the relationship himself with this person. Then he's free. Then he's gone. Doesn't have to stay in the city of refuge anymore. Then he has that relationship with the Rabbanu Shlom directly, because there's no Kohen Gadol anymore. So God wants that relationship. So now it has to go. Now it goes, what's it called? And also, it's because the Kohen Gadol should have davened that this shouldn't have happened, because there's a danger here. There's a danger to say, well, since you can escape the system, then maybe you can buck the system altogether, sin, and then escape. Go to jail and then escape. No, that's not ideal. That's called echte va'ashuv. I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva. You can't do tshuva, you can't sin with the knowledge you're going to do tshuva later. It's an escape after the fact. So therefore the Kohen Gadol should have davened that this shouldn't have happened to begin with. So you have to stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies, so you're impressed with the fact you don't try this again. You don't rely on escaping the system to begin with. Better to live within the system. But if you didn't, then b'di'evit God gives you a way to escape it. It's not l'chatchil. That's the Kohen Gadol's part in reminding you that the Kohen Gadol should have davened this didn't happen. Right? It's not l'chatchila to escape the system. L'chatchila, the system is there. But if you didn't, if you messed up, then God gives you an escape. Okay. Now, this is exactly what Elul is all about. Because I was thinking that there are two aspects to the judgment of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And it answers a lot of questions, right? So why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? L'chora, wouldn't it be better to first have Yom Kippur and be forgiven for your sins, do tshuva, and then be judged? That's much better than first being judged and then having the Yom Kippur. But according to what we're saying, the idea is the following. First, there's a system. The Rosh Hashanah is the day of creation of man. It's this world. It's the system. And in that system, there's judgment. And there's no tshuva. In Rosh Hashanah, we don't do tshuva. No tshuva. It's just Rosh Hashanah, there's judgment, it's a day of judgment, you accept God's rule in this world. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, all within the system. And you have to deal with the system. That's l'chatchila. But what happens if you messed up? And if you remain within the system, things are pretty bad for you. Then God gives you an escape. That's called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the time of tshuva, which is the escape. Yom Kippur is beyond the system. There's even an opinion that says Yom Kippur forgives sins even for a person who doesn't do tshuva and eats and works on Yom Kippur. As long as he doesn't consciously say he's not interested in Yom Kippur helping him. That means Yom Kippur is like this place to escape to. It's out of the system. You can escape into Yom Kippur. We hold it has to be with tshuva. The escape has to be into the world of tshuva. Yom Kippur and tshuva go together. But there is an opinion, Rebbe, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, that Yom Kippur helps even without tshuva for certain sins. So it's an escape, Yom Kippur. Once you've gone through the system, that's Rosh Hashanah, that has to come first. And there's no tshuva. There's judgment. But once you've gone through that judgment, God gives you an escape that's called Yom Kippur and tshuva. And therefore, Elul has in it both ideas. Elul is a 30-day preparation for Rosh Hashanah, like every Yontif, 30 days before we begin to prepare. 30-day preparation period. So 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is Elul. But Elul is also the beginning of a 40-day process where Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain and 40 days later, God forgave them with tshuva and gave them the second tablets, the second luchos. Elul is the beginning of that 40-day process. So Elul is a preparation for the din, for the system, Rosh Hashanah. It's also the beginning of the process for the escape from the system of Yom Kippur. And therefore, Elul is ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I'm to my beloved is to him, Elul. And that is that direct relationship with God, which we get on Yom Kippur. And that's why that remez of Elul has to do with the 40-day process. How do I know? Because the last letters of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is four yuds, is 40. That's the aspect of Elul of 40, of that culminates in Yom Kippur. You and God, forget about the system. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, that's Yom Kippur. On the other hand, the other aspect of Elul is Ish L'Re'eu Matanus Levyonim. Fix up what you did between man and man. Right? Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. Spells Elul. Es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. Fix up what you did between you and God. Within the system. Prepare for Rosh Hashanah by fixing up whatever you can that you and make sure that you're straight. God is straight. There's a system. but he's also good. And sometimes when it's necessary to be good, and if you're going to be straight, you're not going to be able to fulfill that goodness. God takes you above the system and is good beyond the system. That's Yom Kippur. So it's 30 days preparation for Rosh Hashanah. That's fix up what you can, make yourself straight, right? Get within the system for Rosh Hashanah. But whatever doesn't work within the system, God gave you an escape from the system to remain with that kindness directly with Him. That's Yom Kippur. And that's Elul prepares for both. 30 days preparation for Rosh Hashanah, 40-day process to Yom Kippur. One is represented by Ani L'Dodi, the Dodi Li. The other one by the Inol, by what's it called, by Ish L'Re'ehu Matonus Levyonim, making up with human beings, getting good, making peace with people, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and Umol Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha the Es Levav Zarecha. God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children within the system. Work it out. Come straight. Right? Whatever doesn't work out, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And that's exactly this Ore Niklad. First, Ino L'Yado. There's a system. And God will see to it that you kill the other guy unintentionally, and you'll go to Ari Miklat, and you get the what's it called, to be killed by the mitzvah, to be killed by the avenger, and the other guy who killed on purpose is going to be killed. There's din, there's justice. But at the same time, v'samti lach, I'm giving you personally an escape. This is the system, but I'm giving you an escape from the system. Run away to me, I'll take care of you. I had to make the system has to exist, but if you want to, you can run away to me and circumvent the system. You can go beyond the system. It's not lechatchila. It's b'di'evet. That's elul. Ino liyado. Both the preparation for the system of Rosh Hashanah and the samti lach and the escape from the system of Yom Kippur. Elul prepares for both. That's the hint in my estimation. That also answers why it says, Reb Tzadik says in a few places in Takanas Hashav, the Sefer, just about Shuva. So he says that Shuva is a creation that was created before this world. It's not within this world. It's a different world. It's an escape to another world, the way we're saying. Right? And it only helps by having a direct relationship with God. It's not within the system. It's a direct relationship with God. And that's what he says. Shisham ein chatoi yitzis achok. They're the sins of going out of nature, out of the framework that God created, don't exist, because there is no framework there. That's totally out of the framework. And he says, Tshuva, therefore, breaks down all of the limitations and boundaries of the Torah. It goes beyond the boundaries of the Torah. And therefore, it doesn't affect the boundaries of the Torah. Because since it's not in the system, if somebody murders somebody with witnesses, he has to get a death penalty even if he does Tshuva. Tshuva can't affect the system. It's only an escape from the system. And if you haven't escaped the system, then finished. Then you're going to have to get your death penalty. You can still do Tshuva. But you can't, it doesn't affect the system itself. Therefore, it says, when Mashiach will come, and you'll have all of Eretz Yisrael, you should add another 3 cities of refuge. So everybody asks, when Mashiach comes, why do you need more cities of refuge? But the idea is, at that time, God will deal with us in this Madrega of Chesed, outside the system, lifting Mishur Sadin. So the way that people will get their tikkun will be Dafkin Ari Nikla. In fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think, said that in that time, all the people who killed unintentionally throughout the generations when there weren't Ari Miklat will go to Ari Miklat, so you'll need more. But it could be even more than that. All sinners will be given the idea of Ari Miklat, tshuva, out of the system. Because when Mashiach comes, the system won't be that strong anymore. There won't be that din anymore so much. All God will take care of directly. So taking care of directly is represented by Ari Miklat. Run away to me, I'll take care. Right? It's like a royal pardon. We'll give you a royal pardon as long as you run away and connect yourself to me. You won't have to go through the system. So when Mashiach comes, more people won't have to go through the system. God will be dealing with us more above the system than within the system. So you need more Ari Miklat. That's the idea of that. So this is the hint, I think, between Elul and Ari Miklat. Exactly the same kind of idea. And what's it called, if we work on that, both Elul as a preparation for the system of straightening ourselves out, with the system, and whatever we can't straighten out with the system, right, to do tshuva, to go beyond the system, to run away to the Rabbanu Shalom, which is Yom Kippur, right, Elul prepares for both of these things.